గోపిచన్న వల్లవా గిరివరదారి యశోదానందన వ్రజ చనరంజన యశోదానందన వ్రజ చనరంజన యమున తీరా వనచారి యమున తీరా వనచారి చాయరాధమా దావా కుంజ విహారి చాయరాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారి గోపి జన్న వల్లవ గిరివరదారి గోపి జన్న వల్లవ గిరివరదారి యశోదానందన వ్రజ చనరంజన యశోదానందన వ్రజ చనరంజన యశోదానందన వ్రజ చనరంజన యమున తీరా వనచారి యమున తీరా వనచారి యమున తీరా వనచారి
ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ గ్రంథరాజ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కీ జయ సమవేత భక్త వృంద కీ జయ నితై గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నిగమకల్పతరుర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖతమృతద్రవసంయుతం పీవాత భగవతం రసమలయం ముహురకోరసిక భువి బుక్కః ముఖం కరోతి వచ్చలం పంగుం లంగయతే గిరిం यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतरणं परमानन्दमाधवम् तं श्रीमत्कृष्णचैतन्य देवं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् यस्यानुकम्पयाश्वापि महाब्धि सन्तरेत्सुकम्। Today we read from 5th canto, chapter 10, Maharaj Raghuna meets Jada Bharata. Text number 14, written in prose, so we will just read the Sanskrit and then go to the translation. Shri Shuka Uvacha Etavat Anuvada Paribhashaya Pratyudittya Munivara Upashamashila Uparatanatmya Nismita Upabhogena Karmaraptan Vyapanayam Rajayamam Apitato Vaha. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. Shukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when King Raghugana chastised the exalted devotee Jada Bharata with harsh words, that peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. Nations is due to the bodily conception, and Jada Bharata was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. Purport. An exalted devotee of the Lord never thinks that he is a Paramahamsa or a liberated person. He always remains a humble servant of the Lord. In all reverse conditions, he agrees to suffer the results of his past life. He never accuses the Lord of putting him into a distressed condition. These are the signs of an exalted devotee. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana. When suffering reverse conditions, the devotee always considers that the reverse conditions are the Lord's concessions. He is never angry with his master. He is always satisfied with the position his master offers. In any case, he continues performing his duty in devotional service. Such a person is guaranteed promotion back home, back to Godhead, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tatenu kampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ritvak vapurbir vidadan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, one who constantly waits for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the court of his heart, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Translation again. Shukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when King Raghugana chastise the exalted devotee Jada Bharata with harsh words. That peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. Nations is due to the bodily conception, and Jada Bharata was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. So if we will give a title to today's discussion, it will be How a Devotee Responds to Suffering. It is about suffering. It is a natural condition of humanity to suffer, isn't it? Who can say I'm not suffering? Of course, as Vaishnava devotees, in as much as you are experiencing the connection with Krishna, you don't feel affected by the pangs of suffering, or at least we can say to a certain extent, the suffering is there, it's around us. But in as much as you are Krishna conscious, you may say, okay, I'm free from suffering. But if we look at ourselves from a human condition, as human beings, let's consider, how often do we suffer? What will you say? Is it a yearly event, annual program? Is it a monthly program? Is it a weekly? It's daily. And then we could even divide it. Is it how many hours do we suffer? We have, if we consider the three types of suffering, sufferings tapatraya, is a material world is described like that. A place of suffering, there are sufferings arising from the body and the mind, adhyatma. Sufferings arising from other living beings, adhibhuta, adhibhautika. Sufferings produced by nature, adhidaivika. Like too cold, too hot, too much rain, too cloudy sometimes. And these sufferings are interconnected. Sometimes we feel down because it's too cloudy. So it is too cloudy outside and it becomes too cloudy for us inside. Isn't it? Sometimes we experience that. So, suffering is the natural condition of the embodied being. In the conditioned state, it's natural to suffer. Mamupetya punarjamma dukkalayam ashashvatam. And therefore, we could say we are born to suffer. Sorry, I don't want to paint a very, very bleak picture. Born to suffer, isn't it? Does anyone feels like that sometimes? No, you are in bliss all day. But okay, maybe as devotees we don't feel that so much. But sometimes the mind may paint us that picture, born to suffer. And in one sense, it is a fact. We are born in the material world to suffer. We come to enjoy, we want to have a good time, but we forgot that it is a coin with two sides. So we will experience happiness, yes, but that happiness will be paid with suffering, whether we like it or not. That's the nature of the world. And actually, the reality is that it is not about the external suffering, these three types of suffering we briefly mentioned. But it is actually about being separated from Krishna, from God, which is the real cause of suffering. Because we are separated from Krishna, we have been cut off from our root. Krishna is our root. Then we feel without connection, and we suffer. And then the effect of such separation from Krishna is that the soul enters into the cycle of birth and death within a dimension where the natural condition is suffering. Mamupetya punarjamma dukkalayam ashashvatam. The material world is characterized by dukkha, suffering, and ashashvatam. It is temporary conditions. Even the suffering is temporary. So that's good news. Whenever we feel threatened or we feel burdened by a particular suffering, at least there will be variety within the suffering. We will get a different type of suffering. Please don't mind my sarcasm, but it's so this is the condition of this world. And we see here that even great Paramahamsas like Jada Bharata, they did experience suffering conditions. Jada Bharata, as you may remember, how in his previous life he was Bharata Maharaj, two lives back. He was the emperor of the world, so famous that the world was named after him, so dear by all the people. They changed the name of the planet. Imagine, instead of planet Earth, planet Bharata. Bharata Varsha. In memory to such a great soul, such great personality. So, still, he took birth again, for different reasons. We will not get into that, that was discussed previously. And then he became Jada Bharat, and in such condition where he was completely absorbed in divine consciousness since childhood. But he didn't manifest it externally. He purposefully, he kept it hidden. He didn't reveal it. And the result was that his brothers were treating him like an animal. They thought, we have a foolish brother. He's worth for nothing. This is what they were thinking. And then they will engage him in taking care of the fields as he was a man bird. I mean, the man who is meant to scare the birds. Scarecrow, yes, thank you. They were having him as a scarecrow. That was their. They put him in the fields so that the animals would not come and eat the harvest, whatever was produced in the fields. This is how much they were valuing him. And they were giving him the food, the food that nobody will eat. So he will eat everything, and then whatever was burned on the pot, that's what they were giving him. So they were like kind of taking all this burnt black rice, and then he will eat it. And it is described a few verses before, he was eating it as if it was nectar. He was happy. He didn't mind. But he was going through a suffering condition from the external point of view, even though he was a Paramahamsa. Of course, he didn't mind because of his elevated consciousness, but he had to go through suffering. Even God himself, when he comes to this planet, for the sake of setting an example, he goes through suffering. For example, Sri Ramachandra, he chose, of course he's God, he chose himself, but he chose to go through a very painful condition of life. He was sent to the forest, to the exile, for 14 years. And he was sent not just by the enemy, but he was sent by his own father and mother. Can you imagine? Your father and your mother send you, you are going to become the king. And then one day before, or on the very same day of the coronation, you are expelled to the forest like a criminal. Ashvatthama, the criminal, he was expelled. He was born in a Brahmana family. His punishment, which was considered worse than death for a person born from a cultured family, to being expelled was worse than death, because all his prestige was totally destroyed. So he was expelled, Ashvatthama. So this was the punishment for the criminal people. So this was the destiny that Sri Ramachandra, the incarnation of God as the Naradeva, the ideal human being, chose to go through in order to teach us by his personal example. And he was sent to the forest. He was punished in this way by his own beloved father. And the father was crying out of pain while he was punishing his son in this way, because he had promised that whatever he will, his wife, one of his wives, Kaikeyi, will ask him, because she saved his life, she will grant to her. And then she asked, please send Ram to the forest and make my son Bharat the king. And Maharaj Dasharath, he painfully agreed. So, and everybody was actually suffering. If we read the Ramayana, it is a drama, a very dramatic description of intense suffering. Of course, within the middle of the suffering, the experience of dharma, or proper response to suffering, is found in so many places, in so many ways. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is, in commenting what Yada Bharata went through here. He was being punished, or about to being punished, by Maharaj Raghuvana, who was threatening him and treating him as a fool, as a crazy person. And he was threatening that I'm going to kill you. If you don't carry properly the palanquin, after being the scarecrow for his brothers, he became the palanquin carrier for the king. Because he was forced, he was of like, okay, you come, you become the slave of the king. They didn't ask him, do you want to do it? They didn't ask him, how do you want to do it? What are your expectations? Sometimes, nowadays, we talk about, in the service, we we should clarify expectations. And it's good. I mean, I don't mean it is not good. It's good to do it if you can do it. Sometimes you can, sometimes you cannot. Death will not, like material nature, many times will not tell us, okay, what are your expectations in this life? What do you want? Generally, we are not asked, we just experience it. And sometimes if we are asked, their reply may be, I'm sorry, but I will not be able to meet your expectations. I will give you just the opposite. This is the nature of life. I mean, it's as sarcastic as it may sound, is the nature of material existence. Confirm. So, but the good news is that if we respond, what we see here is what we learn from Jada Bharatam, from so many great souls in the scriptures, is that they how did they respond to this, to suffering? That's the question. How to respond to this condition of suffering due to the separation from God? Because we have cut ourselves from our root, from Krishna, we're experiencing pain, which manifests in our present condition of existence, the embodied condition, in the form of physical, mental, emotional pain. But actually it is the pain of the self in separation from God. So the way how Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam twice in this purport to emphasize how to respond to suffering. Tatenu kampam sushamikshamano. This is Lord Brahma speaking in his prayers to Krishna after he has committed an offense against Krishna by kidnapping his friends, his cowherd friends, and his calves. And in regret, now he's expressing what consciousness we should cultivate while living in this world. And the consciousness is to accept whatever suffering condition we are in, to don't feel revengeful, a feeling of revenge against the Lord, but actually to accept it as, okay, this is what I have chose that. In that, I have come here. I enter in this place. I shouldn't blame anybody else for my entrance. Yesterday we were discussing, when I was a child, I used to ride, there was this fair, parks for children, and there was an attraction named The Train of the Witch. I don't know if you have it in here in Belgium or in your country, it's from many different countries. In Spain it exists, The Train of the Witch. And what it was is that you will ride on a train, the train will go around, and half of the rail will be within a tunnel, and half will be outside. And then you will be going around, and there will be one man who was a he-witch, because he was beating very strongly. He had a broom, a big broom, and then the children will go around, and he will be beating the children. So, bah, 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 bah. And some children, those who were very more like feeling more stronger, they will try to take the broom from him. But this very rarely will happen. because he was a strong man. He was strongly beating. I think I went only once or twice. I didn't go more. I mean, I got enough. He was beating me. Other children may feel like, okay, go, let me try to get there. Some of you may, if you imagine yourself as children, you may imagine, okay, we'll fight this guy and try to get the broom from him. So this is the condition of the material world. I cannot blame. If I'm beaten, I go in such a train, then I should not blame my father nor my mother that I went to the train, or I shouldn't blame the fellow who is beating me. I should not blame the company who put that attraction there. But it is only me who have chosen to enter in such a place. So the verse says that we should, the devotee, from the core of his heart, he continues offering obeisances to the Lord, serving the Lord with devotion, with a spirit of service, endeavoring to please the Lord. My Lord, how can I serve you? My Lord, how can I please you? What can I do for you? Actually, you don't need anything from me. But you are so merciful that even though I have forsaken you, I have betrayed you so many times, you still come and you still give me solace. You still diminish my suffering. I could be suffering much more, but I'm suffering only a little. Compared to how much could I be suffering? Sometimes we complain, but if we think that some people, they don't have even many people and not one or two, but many, many people in the planet, they don't have anything to eat on that day. They don't know what they are going to eat that day. And sometimes we come late and we miss the mangal sweets or miss the whatever, and we are complaining. But many people, they don't have anything. So how merciful is Krishna that he is giving us so much? And we see how devotees respond in this way in Srimad Bhagavatam. We see how devotees are willing to give everything for the Lord. Like here, Yadavarata is telling the king, okay, if you consider me your servant, I'm happy to serve you. He was not even taking an attitude of fighting against the person who was the instrument for his suffering, for his condition, which was not comfortable. So this is the mercy of the Lord. And we see how Srila Prabhupada, many times, he went also through so much voluntary suffering for the benefit of the devotees, for the benefit also of the non-devotees who he wanted to help them to become devotees. For example, when he was in America, he was living with he was very respectable from the cultural point of view, so respectable from a good family, but he was living with the bumps in the Bovary. And it is described in Lilamrita, when he will come to that flat where that crazy fellow who Srila Prabhupada was hoping that he will become his disciple and he will make him a good devotee, he tried to kill him. So he was going to that flat, and then he had to pass through the drunkards who were kind of sitting or lying in the middle of, in front of the door. And then he will pass by and the drunkards will pay him obeisances like the drunkards. With respect, they were actually respecting Srila Prabhupada. But this was the honor he was receiving. So voluntarily he was going through suffering for the benefit of the conditioned souls. He went through suffering. The disciples, in some occasions, were rejecting him, making him God first, then making him nobody. The same people. No, you are God. No, you are nobody. We are as good as you are, or better than you. And Srila Prabhupada was tolerating all this, and from that condition, from those situations, he was serving Krishna and seeing, okay, what Krishna wants me to do next. When the disciples did this to him, some of the leading disciples, he went to preach to India. And he took it as Krishna taking him, giving him an opportunity to focus elsewhere for the benefit of the people, for the benefit of the conditioned soul in another region of the world. And then this became actually a very fortunate condition, both for the people of India and for his disciples in America, who realized their mistake in dealing with Srila Prabhupada in this way. We find also in the Mahabharata so many situations, for example, the Pandavas. How much suffering. If somebody was born to suffer, can you think of somebody in the Pandava family who was born to suffer? Draupadi. Draupadi will be a very good example. Kunti, Queen Kunti. I was thinking of Queen Kunti, Draupadi also. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport in the ninth chapter of the first canto, when Bhishmadev, the great Mahajana, the patriarch of the family, such a powerful warrior, sometimes such a powerful warrior, the patriarch, he will shed tears thinking of the suffering of the Pandavas, and especially the suffering of Srimati Kunti Devi. She lost her husband, and she had, her children were small, five small children. She had to raise her five children in a very difficult condition, in the middle of a palace, where there were many intrigues, because her eldest son was going to become the king, was the prince. He will become the king. So her nephews wanted to kill, were conspiring to kill her sons. Not just her nephews, but even her brother-in-law, Dhritarashtra, was behind them, was supporting them. Imagine what difficult condition. Before that, she had lost her eldest son, Karna. You know the story, that she was born from the mantra given to her by Durvasa Muni when she experimented the mantra with Surya, the sun god. And then, for fear to the social pressure that will make her suffer, she put the baby on the basket, like Moses in the Bible, on the river, and he was raised by someone else. And later on, she met her son during the battle of Kurukshetra, and her son, her eldest son, Karna, was killed by her own younger sons. And when she tried to convince Karna during the battle to make peace with his brothers, she was rejected by her own son. So she went really through, from the material point of view, through hell. They tried to burn them alive, to give them poison. The cannibalistic people, try to eat them. So many sufferings. She was born to suffer. And yet she's offering such beautiful prayers to the Lord, saying that, send me, know you are living, know that we are okay, you are living our kingdom. We won the battle. Now we seem to be successful in Hastinapur, but know, my Lord, you are leaving us. I prefer that you stay, and please give us more suffering. If that's the price for you to stay, please send more suffering. This is how she was seeing the suffering. The suffering was not the external conditions, but the suffering was the separation from the Lord. And as devotees, we should not, this is what Srila Prabhupada instructs us to, put our consciousness in the proper perspective or proper attitude. Prabhupada says, we should not even think that we are suffering due to our past karma. Although sometimes we do suffer due to past karma, we could take that as a true statement, but Srila Prabhupada says, Maharaj Yudhishthira should not think that he was suffering due to his past misdeeds. Because actually he was the son of Dharma, the son of personified religion. He was so pious that he practically, it is described, he was not touching the floor. Such an elevated person, above the dimension of this world. But still he had to go through hell. Not later also, according to Mahabharata description, he did visit hell. But in this lifetime, he had to go through hell. 13 years in the exile, his dear wife dishonored in his very presence, he couldn't do anything. He was heavily abused. So, Srila Prabhupada says, he should not think that he was suffering due to his own past misdeeds, but actually, he should take it that this is the action of time. Time is the energy of this material world, an energy of God's energy, a manifestation of God which makes suffering to appear, to take place in due course of time. If we are not experiencing it now, wait a little. Time will bring it. But the good news is that when we accept the condition of nature without resentment towards God, and we continue offering Him service with a loving attitude, as much as we are able to. Love may mean sometimes we don't feel, but we do. Action speaks louder than feelings. We may not feel, but okay, I don't feel at this moment, but my Lord, I'm going to do it for you. Like the mother, even if she does not feel like cooking for the husband and for the children, she cooks. This is love. The father, he doesn't feel like going to work, but he has the picture of the child, isn't it? The children in the car or in the office and on the desk of the wife, and then he goes to work. So the devotee sometimes does not feel like doing something, but he has Krishna's picture. Wherever he or she is doing service within the heart, and then he goes and does it for Krishna. And then Krishna says here, when we develop that attitude, then we become the legitimate inheritor of the kingdom of God. And we're entitled to go back home, back to Godhead, in this very lifetime. 1 or 2 months ago, we were discussing Bharata Maharaj and how we were expressing some, we could say, skepticism about going back to Godhead in one lifetime, saying, don't take it for granted, it's not so easy. Of course, that was the context of the verse that Bharata Maharaj had to come back to lifetimes more. Now here we see, according to Jada Bharata, in this very lifetime, with this attitude, in this very lifetime, no matter who we are, how limited we are, how many shortcomings we have, we are entitled to go back home, back to Godhead, in this very lifetime, if we cultivate the attitude given here by Lord Brahma. To accept whatever comes with the spirit of service and continue serving the Lord in whatever capacity we are able to do. Like Srila Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj, in his deathbed, he said these were the greatest moments when his body was being eaten, being destroyed by a cancer. These were the greatest moments he experienced in Krishna consciousness. Not because he was a masochist, but because he was able, in such a painful condition of life, he was able to take full shelter of Krishna, of God, and his devotees, who were lovingly surrounding him and accompanying him for his journey back home, back to Godhead. And he was saying, it cannot become better, the experience. This is what he was telling his dear friend, Radhanath Swami Maharaj. It cannot become better. Such a profound experience he was sharing with his friends. So I'd like to end, before we take a few comments or questions, by reading something from Nectar of Devotion. It's new, so I don't know. Somebody gave me, I don't know what to use it. I went to preach to Africa, and one Portuguese devotee gave me a Mac, because last year there was the previous computer was blinking, so he bought the Mac. So you go to preach to Africa and you get a Mac. This is modern time, and then you don't know how to use it until you learn. I guess I will learn, but it's expecting the Lord's mercy. This is Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 10, Techniques of Hearing and Remembering, Expecting the Lord's Mercy. And it's again a reference to the same verse quoted by Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8, it is said, my dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. From the core of his heart, because sometimes we may not be able to offer obeisances even with our body. No, we can offer obeisances with the body, but it may be the case that sometimes we cannot. We have to do it with the heart, because the body cannot, does not function anymore. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. That's a very important statement. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences. because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse is dayabhag. Dayabhag refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. So this is the conclusion. If we make this a statement, our guide in our life, and I am sure many of you are doing that, you are living up to it, then we have guaranteed going back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. And during this lifetime we will experience the sufferings of life in a very different light than a materialistic person. One devotee who had cancer was telling me, I will keep it anonymous for different reasons, he was telling me recently that when he went to the hospital, they gave him a psychologist to help him because he had terminal cancer. But the psychologist couldn't figure out. He had to consult the psychologist because she couldn't understand. She couldn't understand how somebody was about to die, and he was so jolly and so peaceful. Of course, he was going through inside. He was going through a very difficult situation. He became cured, actually. He cured the cancer, at least temporarily, for some years. So this is during the present experience of the suffering, we will be able to go through it in a jolly spirit. In our own way, everyone, we can be ourselves, we don't have to imitate anybody, we are who we are. But we can go through those situations in our own way joyfully, with our own experience of happy Krishna consciousness within. And this is the great gift that Srila Prabhupada has offered us. In his books, by his example, and through his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you like to make comments or ask questions, I mean, the three of them are proper, the three of them are true, it is Krishna's mercy, because suffering is there. There is a purpose with the suffering. We experience a particular type of suffering so that we deal with the suffering inside, so that we correct what we need to correct to become properly situated inside. So what the problem inside becomes manifested outside. So in that sense, it is Krishna's mercy to help us. It is also the karma in that we have performed many activities in different lifetimes, and we are now getting a token, Srila Prabhupada says, of those reactions. So it's our karma also. It's a token of our karma. Krishna is so merciful, in that way it also it's Krishna's mercy, that he's reducing the payment. We had to pay 1 million, but we are paying only 1,000. So it's actually Krishna's mercy in this way. And it is also time, because time acts in the material world for everybody. For anyone, Mahabhagavat, Madhyama, Kanishta, Karmi, Vikarmi, Asura, everybody experiences the pangs of time. It is not that because I am a devotee, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I go to the North Pole, and then I don't need to take any clothes. I go in swimming attire, because I'm a devotee, I'm transcendental to material conditions. We will experience the conditions of this existence, whoever we are, in whatever condition we are situated in spiritual life also. So it is actually the three of them. It is up to us how to look at it. Krishna is giving us this. Now how do we take it? We can choose. We can take it. Of course, the more connected to Krishna we take it, the more blissful it becomes. The suffering becomes transformed into bliss, because the suffering becomes a source of relationship with Krishna. But if we only focus on the suffering and we forget Krishna, who is behind everything, then we suffer. We suffer, doubly suffer. I'm suffering, and I suffer because I see the suffering in a suffering attitude. But if we see it in, as you said, in whatever attitude, in whatever condition of existence, in, we see as our token karma, as Krishna's mercy, or as time, who is coming, is Krishna in the form of time. Time is described as an incarnation of Paramatma, Kala. So if we see Krishna in this way, coming as time, then we become pacified. But we do need the personal relationship with Krishna in order to really get out of it. Otherwise we cannot. It is not just philosophy. It is not just jnana. There must be a relationship. Dinadayal Prabhu? I mean, when I made the statement that Lord Ramachandra chose to suffer for to teach us something, it is true that in his inner self he is completely transcendental. The Lord does not suffer. That's true. You are right. So in that sense, yes. But in the Leela for our vision, he was going through suffering. He was Leela. He was not really suffering. but he chose to go through it. Does this answer? He does not suffer because he is totally detached, but he chooses to suffer to teach a lesson. Also, how the Yadu dynasty was destroyed. The Yadu dynasty was destroyed in a very dramatic way. The worst possible way, you could say, from the external point of view, the worst possible way it could end. A fratricidal war where all the Yadus kill each other. You cannot make it worse. Like a spiritual family, fighting among themselves and killing each other. But also, we could say there was no suffering. There was no suffering because it was a drama. To illustrate that, Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Yadus killing each other is compared to the performance of the family of magicians, father, mother, son, and daughter, who went to perform to the palace of a king, to the court. They were so expert that they let everybody in the court mesmerize. So enchanted that the queen gave her personal diamond jewel to the lady of the family. When she received the gift, she took the jewel, and the husband said, no, I am in charge of the family, not you. And they started to fight there. The man took a sword and killed the woman, his wife, there in front of the king. The son immediately, he said, you rascal person, father, how you dare did this to my mother. He took another weapon and killed the father. And then the daughter, the sister, killed the brother and killed herself. This was the end of the situation. Everybody was shocked in the court. Totally shocked. So they cleansed everything, and was a very bad end. So after 1 month, they received a letter from South India, where the family of magicians were living, and they said, Your Majesties, we want to express our gratitude that you allowed us to perform in front of you. It was a great honor for us. And thank you for the gift you gave us at the end, this diamond jewel. We truly appreciated very much your appreciation. We just want to let you know that we are sorry if the end was too dramatic, but it was just a magic trick. So we are alive in our place. So don't mind. We are happy. We want to reassure you. We feel greatly honored. Again, thank you so much. The king sent somebody to check, and they were living in South India happily. So the end of the Yadu dynasty is compared to that performance. So in that sense, the Lord is detached. It's like as the magician is detached when he's performing, he appears to be cut into pieces, but he's not cut. So the Lord, as Lord Ramachandra, he appears to be exiled, but he's having a good time in the forest. But in the Leela, you see it becomes very intense. And he goes through the human experience for our benefit. In the same way that the teacher in the school will go to the board and will sing the ABC. A, B, C, etc. One last question. Okay, there are two last questions. Pandu Vijay Prabhu and Hari Bhakti Devi.
A nice story in this collection was with the screen, and we had to get, we came to
Okay, so you're giving this as an example that whoever we are, we have to pay our share of bad karma. And, yeah, that's a good example. That was his good fortune, that he was not an ordinary lizard. He was a lizard who, a special lizard who got Krishna's touch with his lotus feet. So very fortunate lizard. May we become such a lizard that we get the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. That's a blessing. If we come back, let me see if I understood the question. If we come back to serve the devotees, if we serve the devotees, if we suffer, I mean, we will, because we will be serving others, we will be endeavoring to relieve the suffering of others, then we will not suffer, we will not feel our suffering. When we give ourselves to others, then we forget our own suffering. So in that sense, even if the external suffering is there, we will not feel it. That's the beauty of devotional service, that we give ourselves to serve Krishna and to serve others, and we forget about our suffering. But if we are thinking only of my suffering, my suffering, my suffering, then I suffer. Best is to think, what about the suffering of the other? What can I do for the other? It's true that sometimes we may be in a very intense condition, and then we need care, okay, then we can ask for help. Help, I'm suffering, help me. That's fine. But the key is to give ourselves to others. Give ourselves to Krishna in the midst of our suffering. And then our suffering will become like the amount of water that feeds into the footprint of a calf. The ocean of material suffering becomes a little water that we can jump over very easily. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.